Pot, Scott, and Todd, March 8th, 2025. Coming at you, as has been the case a lot recently, late on a Saturday evening, just after 11 p.m. And another Scott Speaks. Plan was to do an episode of The Other Half this week. Earlier this week, I was in Tahoe with Todd. And late last week, I was in Tahoe with Todd. But I intentionally did not take the microphone. I had no intention of recording a pod while in Tahoe. Turns out we probably almost certainly could have. Didn't know that at the time. So, you know, if next year we do a similar trip, stay at the same place. Shout out to Mike and Julia. Thanks for the accommodations. Then I probably would bring the mic, but as I think I said literally on the last podcast that I uploaded, I just didn't want to have the burden of taking both computers, because I did take my work computer on this trip, but I didn't want to have the burden of taking both computers and the microphone along with the ski bag and the boot bag. Like, it's just a lot. So I didn't. And that's why there's not a podcast where Todd and I are speaking into the same mic, blah, 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 blah. So that's okay. Not a big deal. As far as I know, Todd and I will be recording a podcast this coming Wednesday evening. I will be in Salt Lake City, which is kind of the standard. So that should be happening. No reason to think that it will not. But yeah. So anyway, so yet again, coming to you with a Scott Speaks. You know, I sound as though it's a negative thing. It's really not. I think it's the content's as good, in a lot of cases better, than what you get when Todd and I are on the mics together. So I think it's fine, but I feel like for several weeks I've been like, there'll be a normal pod next week. There'll be a normal pod next week, and there's just not. And again, I was starting to say that the plan was to do an episode of The Other Half today or this week. But Lila has been, or actually she's fine now as far as we can tell, but she was very sick last night. Did not sleep for shit. Jamie and I kind of took turns going in there, laying on the floor with her, sometimes just, you know, standing up with her for, or standing over the crib for 30, 40, whatever it took. But she did not sleep well. And then she got up at like 6:15 a.m., which means I got up at 6:15 a.m. Took her in there to go to the bathroom. She still was not feeling well. Brought her downstairs. She didn't want to eat or drink anything. She just wanted to watch, you know, one of her movies. And so that's what we did. I turned on an animated movie, which I had never watched before, and I honestly don't even recall what it was called. But it's like a pig that's a hit pig. I think it's literally what it's called, Hit Pig, Jason Sudeikis film. Anyway, I was only half watching it. I was kind of falling in and out of sleep. But so I sat there on the couch with Isla until she felt better. That's not true. It wasn't when she felt better. Until Jamie came down about 9:30. So for 3 hours, I was just sitting there. Kind of watching over Isla, making sure she was doing okay. And then Jamie kind of took over. I was still down there. It's not like I immediately went up and went to bed. So today was just rough, out of the ordinary. And what that basically meant was we were not in the mindset, or the headspace, as so many kids say, to do a pod today or tonight, more specifically tonight. So we didn't. Jamie and I, that is. And that's okay. We still might do one tomorrow or at some point next week. She's been saying for several weeks now she wants to do one. I'm happy to oblige. We just need to figure out when it makes sense to do it. I will also say that we have historically done The Other Half podcasts on a Saturday or Sunday during the time that Isla is napping. And as I may or may not have mentioned on this show in recent weeks, she's not really napping that much anymore, We can get her to go into the crib and be quiet for 45 minutes or an hour, but she's not legit taking a nap. And honestly, an hour is not really enough time. The other half podcasts normally run a little longer than an hour, and that doesn't include any sort of setup. So unless it was like ready to go, hot mics, and as soon as we put her down, we came, ran down here and started the pod, then maybe that would work from a timing perspective, but otherwise hard to do. So anyway, and in case you can't tell, twice now I've had to, within the first 5 minutes, I've had to stop and yawn because I'm still very tired. And I should have been in bed an hour or two ago, quite frankly. Because tonight is daylight savings time. So we spring forward, as I've done every year of my life with the clocks. So at 2 p.m., I'm sorry, at 2 a.m., which is just 3 hours from now, it will suddenly be 3 a.m. And of course, the real change, the real impact this has on most people is just that now when you wake up in the morning, assuming you wake up at whatever the normal time is for you, unless that time is like noon or something, but if you wake up at the normal time, it will feel and will actually be a little darker outside. And then, of course, you know, later tomorrow evening around dinner time for most, whatever time it is that you eat dinner, it will be lighter. The sun seemingly stays up a bit longer. So that happens tomorrow. It's one of the things I wanted to discuss just briefly tonight. You know, it typically works out when I say just briefly and then 20 minutes later. But I know there have been talks of expanding the abolishment of daylight savings time across the country. There are several states, Arizona and Indiana come to mind, where, and apparently Nevada has put it on the next voting cycle for the people to vote on, where they'll get rid of it. It'll just be the, you know, you don't move the clocks ever. They just, the clocks are what the clocks are. I'm in favor of this because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, just let it happen naturally. I mean, I've noticed the past few weeks that, you know, here in Colorado, the Denver area at least, in the dead of winter, by 4:30, 4:45, I'm not exaggerating, it's dark outside. And, you know, again, we're coming up on spring here pretty quickly. It's March 8th, as I mentioned. You know, already, even after 6 o'clock, there's still some light out. So it's been since December 21st, so, you know, coming up on 3 full months, it's been improving every single day. I think they say like you gain a minute a day, something like that. So we're now 70, 75 days. So that sounds about right. Sounds exactly right, actually, since it's started turning in the favorable direction. But like, just leave it as is. Why do we need these major changes? I mean, there are a lot of people that say, oh, it messes with my REM sleep cycle. It messes with my kids' sleep cycles. It messes with, especially in the fall, when the clocks fall back and suddenly it is so dark so early at night, people say that, you know, they get the SADS, seasonal something disorder, depression, seasonal something depression. I should know that, but I don't. And even Jamie was mentioning earlier a few hours ago that, for whatever reason, this winter has not been as bad for her. But she said, and we both essentially work from home for, you know, going on 5 years now. Actually, 5 years ago, like right now, is when it first happened. But but she said it used to be extra bad when she was back when she was going into the office, simply because during the winter months, you would, you know, leave the house and the sun had just come up, drive to work, you'd spend all day in the office, and then you went out to your car at the end of the workday, and it was already dark. And it's like you spend all the good days, I'm sorry, the good hours of the day inside. Not that you don't see the sun. I mean, we both certainly worked in a place where you saw the sun, and you had the ability, you know, during lunch, go out for a walk, or in my case, walk downtown, grab a bite to eat, whatever. You could get outside when we weren't imprisoned in our work situations. But I get the point. Like, essentially, the only free time that you had in life in the Monday to Friday time zone or time period was spent inside. You weren't getting to enjoy outside at all. And that does make you feel sort of trapped. So any errands you were running were at night in the dark. Again, assuming it was a weekday. Yeah, the weekends, of course. But so there's less of that now because depending on your work schedule, you can take a 20, 30-minute walk smack in the middle of the day. You can run an errand in the middle of the day and get out there while there's light. But anyway, so getting back to what I was saying, there are several states, again, Nevada, I think, being one of them, and I'll tell you why I think that in a second, that are considering abolishing it. And it's going to get interesting because if that continues, you know, I just think about something like air travel. Like, let's say half the states suddenly decided we don't want it, but the other half want to keep it. Like, just if, again, if air travel, if you travel a lot, it's just, it would just get confusing. I, of course, have always thought when I first heard about the Indiana thing and later the Arizona thing that those two states don't recognize it. It's like, what if you live on the border? Let's say you live right across the Arizona border in New Mexico or right across the Arizona border in Nevada. So, which I think is a better example because I think New Mexico's central time zone and Nevada is Pacific, which Arizona is as well. But like that would really mess with you. If you, again, let's say you lived in Nevada right across the border but then worked in Arizona. You would either lose or gain an hour depending on the seasons just going to work. Like that would just be really, really weird. And then I only heard about this because when I was in Tahoe, people we were staying with, good family friends, Mike and Julia, Julia mentioned that the thing about it being on the Nevada, you know, voting ballots next time around and thinking specifically about exactly where we were, South Lake Tahoe, and specifically even more about the Heavenly Ski Resort. Half of Heavenly Ski Resort is in California, half is in Nevada. So you're telling me 6 months out of the year they're going to be on different time zones? How does that work? Does half the mountain open an hour earlier? And then the other half, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds silly, and it may sound meaningless to people who live in the middle of those states or on the border of those states that don't border another state where they don't need to worry about it. But if you don't, and if you in fact are right on the border, or if you work in South Lake Tahoe, I mean, a lot of people that work in South Lake Tahoe live in one state, work in the other, that sort of a thing. So again, like anything else, you adjust and get used to it, but it would just mess with your mind. Just a real, you know, I don't know, just mess with your mind. Could really mess you up. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, a lot of people are have a very passionate opinion on how they feel. I'm not passionate about my opinion, but if you said, what would you like to do? I'd say get rid of it, get rid of moving the clocks just because it's one more thing to have to worry about. I'd prefer the gradual change. You know, seasons typically change gradually, so why not let the daylight of those seasons change gradually? Why do I have to pick a Sunday at 2 a.m. in the middle of the spring, or I'm sorry, early in the spring, and then again late in the fall, where we just go flip and flip the clocks? Why? It's stupid. Why are we doing this? Let's just do it the old-fashioned way and not do anything. Seems to make a lot more sense to me anyway. So that's my mini rant on daylight savings. Let me know your thoughts on that. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. You can also slide into our DMs on Instagram or X at @the_bro_pod. Todd's in charge of our social media. He never updates a goddamn thing, so don't expect to ever get anything there. But if you slide into our DMs, we will see those messages, and we likely either will reply via those social media outlets or, as often happens, we will talk about it on a future show. shortly after you send that to us. So just let us know. Anyway, so that's my thing on daylight savings. Also, today was a very special day, March 8th, 2025. Also, it's 2 days after my lovely wife's birthday. I should shout that out in case she listens to this. She will not, but she's 29 again, as I've a joke I've made now a dozen times. Yeah, her birthday was on Thursday. We did the usual birthday activities. You know, she opened her gifts up. I'd just gotten back from Tahoe the day before, but I had all these gifts already here, so I put them in bags and wrapped them up, and she opened up all her gifts, and then we went to Outback Steakhouse. I know that's a very suburban thing to do, but she really likes the Alice Springs chicken. Shout out to Outback Steakhouse. And for most of the last 15 years, which is how long I've known her, on her birthday, she gets Outback. That's what she wants. So that's what she gets. So we went there. I will say we went there, obviously, with our daughter. I'm not complaining, but I will mention that easily it's the most expensive bill I've ever had for 2.5 people at Outback. It was kind of crazy. Again, I didn't mind it per se, but just everything's more expensive in terms of, specifically in terms of, like, you know, food, eating out. And I even got, they have a deal there, this, what do they call it? The Aussie Trio or something, where you get an appetizer, which is a salad, a main course, and then you get a dessert, all for, it depends on the main course you get, but mine was like $25 or $26. Although the desserts were things that I didn't really like. And so the wife said, why don't we you could upgrade for a few extra bucks to the chocolate from Chocolate Thunder or something. So we got that. It was good. A little too chocolatey for me, as most things are that involve chocolate, because I'm not a huge chocolate fan, but it was her birthday. She wanted it. No problem. We got it. And then, as I think I already said, she always gets the Alice Springs chicken. She did get an adult beverage, but, and then of course we got Isla something from the kids menu thing, but yeah, it was like 80 something bucks for two and a half people. I don't know. It just kind of surprised me, but whatever. No big deal. So, and I know a lot of you are like, well, yeah, my girlfriend and I go out every week and it's over $100. Well, you probably drink a lot too, you fucking alcoholics, but I digress. So that was, I just wanted to say that, but I interrupted myself before I even got to the main point. Today, March 8th, the final day of ACC basketball play, specifically the final day for the Duke Blue Devils, the team that I am a fan of and that I root for and cheer on, who are having a fantastic year, finished out the ACC season 19-1, the only blemish coming to my alma mater themselves, the Clemson Tigers. I think they lost by 4 or 5 points in that game. And they finished the season with only 3 losses, Clemson, Kansas, and Kentucky. So 2 blue bloods and then an interconference rival. But today they beat the UNC Tar Heels, which, love beating UNC, the hated rivalry between those two teams. They won 82-69. It was a 1-point game at halftime, and they won by 13 points. They just poured it on the second half, got 39 points. Shout out to, not that they listen to the show, obviously, but shout out to the bench players who really made an impact. It's been guys like Isaiah Evans in recent games. He was kind of a non-factor. I think he had 1 3, and that's it. What's the other guy's name? Willis? Is it Willis? Now I'm going to drive myself crazy. I'll figure it out real quick. Anyway, Mason Gillis. Those two guys have been contributing off the bench. But today, coming back from injury, Malik Brown playing fantastic defense on RJ Davis, a UNC player who had a great first half and then was not shut out completely, but really locked down in the second half, thanks in large part to Malik Brown and his defensive presence. And then also Caleb Foster came in. He didn't get a single second, I don't think, of run in the Wake Forest game earlier this week. And he came in and had a couple pretty important buckets, played some solid defense as well. And so it was great. It was Now, yeah, Cooper Flagg had a great game. Colin Knipple had a great game. Malawach was good, not great. Had some solid rebound numbers, but wasn't, didn't put up huge numbers necessarily. But yeah, just a good team effort. Tyrese Proctor played okay. Sion James had a good game. Also a good game defensively. He's a beast. But yeah, Malik Brown just came in, locked down. Cooper Flagg had, I think, 3 blocks, maybe 4. A couple of them were pretty intense and well-timed. He seems to have big plays when they matter the most, which is ironic because for 2 of the 3 losses for the team this year, of course, they got the ball to him. He's probably going to be the perennial player of the year in college basketball. But in both the Kansas and Kentucky game, they were very close, and they had a chance to win towards the end, and Cooper got the ball and I think turned it over in both games, within the last 30 seconds of the game. So, but that didn't happen tonight. It hasn't happened really in several months. I mean, Duke has just been on a roll, just crushing people, like really embarrassed. They were up by 32, I think, on Wake Forest at one point. I don't think that was the final, but they've just been blowing the doors off of people. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. ACC tournament is next week. I think it starts Tuesday night. Like some of the really low seeded teams have to win 5 in a row. Most teams have to win 4 in a row. And then the top 4 seeded teams, which includes Duke, Clemson, Louisville, and I forget the 4th team, but Duke, Clemson, Louisville, and somebody else, only have to win 3 games. So they start playing on Friday. I think that's right. Or maybe it's Thursday. Yeah, their games will start Thursday. And they went Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They've won the ACC tournament for those top 4 seeds. I think it was called a double bye. So anyway, but it's always a fun tournament. It's a tournament that I've never been to, which kind of surprises me. I've always been a huge Duke fan. Specifically, but also just an ACC basketball fan. And the tournament used to be in, for many, many, many years, it was in Greensboro. I think it's in D.C. this year. It's been in Brooklyn. I mean, now there's so many ACC teams all over the place that, it doesn't make as much geographic sense to hold it in Greensboro. It did for a long, long time, but now it doesn't nearly as much. Maybe Florida State's the 4th team. I can't remember. I think it's a double bye. But anyway, so, yeah, it's going to be a fun tournament. The ACC, it's a down year for the ACC in basketball. The SEC, shockingly, had kind of the better conference. But it's still going to be a good tournament. It's always a good tournament. Much like people thought going into this game tonight, Duke-UNC. I don't know. Duke's way ahead. It's a down year for UNC. Probably going to be a blowout. The first game certainly was. And look, the final score, Duke winning by 13 tonight, makes it seem as though... Whoops, sorry about that. Makes it seem as though the game was never close. But it was. Again, 43-42 at half. Duke only up by a point. And early in the second half, maybe 5-6 minutes in, UNC was up 7 points, I think, was the high point for them, I want to say. Something like that. So it was anything but a foregone conclusion. For sure. Like it was touch and go for a while there. But look, at the end of the day, just kind of, I don't want to go too deep into the details here, but, Duke out rebounded UNC 40-26. That was huge. UNC had very few assists. With like 5 minutes ago, they only had 5 assists in the whole game. Finished with 8. Duke had 14. Duke 5 blocks, UNC 2. Duke 14 turnovers to UNC 6. That was a surprise. Duke's assist turnover ratio this season has been very impressive, and it was not tonight. They had a bunch of turnovers. Credit to UNC's defense as to why that happened. But yeah, just a really weak turnover game for them. Another factor was certainly the threes. Duke was 9-for-19, just under 50%. UNC 9-for-27, obviously 33.3% there. And just overall, Duke shot 56% field goal percentage from the floor. UNC 39. So, Yeah, but I, you know, look at it was an entertaining game for me because they won. Definitely a results oriented comment there, but yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Duke, the number two ranked team in the country, probably going to be number one because Auburn lost on Tuesday night, and they were sitting in the number one seat. So likely to be the number one team going into the tournament week. Assuming they win the ACC, or even if they just make it to the final and Auburn does not win the SEC, Duke might wind up as the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament as well. They're definitely going to be a number one seed, I think, regardless of what happens in the ACC tournament. Maybe if they happen to lose in the first round, which is very unlikely, but if they did, you might see them fall to a number two. But honestly, I doubt it. I think Duke has locked up a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I think Auburn probably has as well. But we'll, you know, that stuff changes so much in the final week. You know, you get some rogue team coming in and winning their conference tournament. Suddenly they're in, they're knocking somebody else out. You get a top team like a Duke. If they did happen to go out in the first round, like, oh, maybe they're not a one seed. Like, things can change a lot in a very short amount of time. But as always, I'm very much looking forward to the NCAA tournament. You know, I don't do what I used to do, which is, and this is way back in the day, like 15, 20 years ago. I used to take the Thursday and Friday off from work those first 2 days of the NCAA tournament because it was just, there was so much to watch. There was so much going on. I'd fill out multiple brackets. Like, I was all about that life. But and I certainly still watch, you know, games, even those outside of Duke. But I just don't do it nearly as much as I used to. Because I honestly, I don't follow college basketball nearly as much. I follow the ACC and I follow Duke, and that's about it. But, yeah, as it gets deeper into the actual March Madness in the tournament, especially you get down to Sweet 16 and closer, assuming my team is still in, I will be watching closely. And even if they're not, certainly all the way up to Final Four weekend, I'll watch those games. Because it just kind of illustrates the end of the season, so you want to watch as I want to watch as much of it as possible. And I would assume other people feel the same way. So anyway, I had one other thing to talk about, but I think I'll skip it. Because we're at almost 30 minutes, and it's almost quarter of midnight. I have to edit this down real quick. This is me crumbling up the paper. So, yeah, we'll call that a pod. We'll get back to regular scheduled stuff, I promise. It's just been a hectic few weeks. I had work travel, then I took the Tahoe trip. In between that, Todd had international travel, and then he was also on the Tahoe trip. So February was just kind of I blanked and it was gone. But literally I was actually very, I felt very calm about this on Friday. I was planning my Salt Lake travel for the next 2 months at least. And I was just like, it'll be nice to get back into a routine, you know, just gone those 2 days and one night each week. I now have also a full week off from travel altogether. It's kind of 3 weeks on, 1 week off. I may have mentioned that in prior Scott Speaks, but so I'm excited about that just to kind of normalize things a little bit. So we'll get back into more of a rhythm with true BroPod episodes coming up. We're going to try to we're going to try to fit in a WeWatchables at some point in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Todd and I talked about that a little bit on the Tahoe trip, different movies we could do. So, and I was explaining just how much I love doing those episodes. It is a lot of work, especially compared to what we normally do, where we do virtually no work. We just kind of chat between each other, but it's totally worth it, and I love doing them. So I do want to do that. But yeah, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, a normal routine, even at home, you know, let alone the podcast, but just home life. exercise, like running, like I ran several times when I was in Tahoe, but I have not run since I've been back for a number of reasons. And so tomorrow morning, my hope is to go out there, get a nice morning run in, because the next few days here in Denver, even though it's early March, are going to be really hot, like in the high 60s, low 70s, which is crazy. So I say, let's say that's why I got to get out in the morning to beat the heat. Believe it or not, that's heat in my opinion. But anyway, so yeah, so stay tuned. A lot in store. And back to our regularly scheduled programming here very soon. So hope you'll stick around for that. And also go Duke, obviously. But anyway, happy daylight saving. Happy lighter evenings, more light in the evenings here for everyone as you're listening to this, no matter when you're listening. It's effective tomorrow, March 9th. So hope everyone enjoys it. Anyway, thanks for listening to this special episode of Scott Speaks. Back to normal real soon. Stay tuned. Keep it locked. Tell a friend. Tell everybody about it. Check out our website, bropodnetwork.com. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. the_bro_pod at Instagram, X, or Blue Sky, I do believe. the_bro_pod is where you can find us there. I could be wrong. Title correct next week if I am wrong. And yeah, like, share, tell a friend. Spread the word. Be part of the army. We do appreciate it. So yeah, till next week, guys. See you.